I don't know exactly what scripture we're going to end up reading. We got up this morning and had a thought on our mind, and I woke up a little after 3 o'clock and ended up getting up at 3:30 and went downstairs and began reading on some of this. And you know, I'm afraid a lot of times we read over things in the Bible and we don't get what God would have us to get out of it. We're living in a day and a time when people, they don't like to be reminded, I guess you'd say, of really where we stand with God. They don't like to be reminded of the fact that we're going to have to give an account before God. And, you know, according to the Scripture, when you and I stand before God, we're going to have to give an account of the life that we've lived. And today, the world lives as if the blood of Jesus Christ just allows them to live as they want to, and when they stand there, God's just going to see His Son's blood and let us go. But unless we've come and been sprinkled by that blood, having our sins washed away by that blood, and the only way to do that is coming before God and repenting. You know, my mom and dad raised me and taught me when you do wrong to somebody, you apologize to them. Well, the human family today, have you ever heard somebody say, "I'm sorry, but," and then they'll almost take back their apology of saying they were sorry. And that's the way a lot of people comes before the Lord to repent. "Lord, I'm in sin, but I'm a human being and you got to accept me the way I am because this is just the way that you made me and I can't help my desires and all of this." And we'll start telling God, "You've got to accept me," and then why I am the way I am, instead of realizing that God said, "I can make you a new creature in Christ. I can create in you a new heart. That desire that you have, that lust that you have, anything that is controlling you in this life that has to do with sin, God can help you to overcome it to where it's no longer what binds you down." Why? Because you can be set free from it. And I don't care what it is. People can say that I am just bound by drugs. I can't get rid of it. But when you come to God and He cleans you up from the inside out, that desire of the body for good becomes a desire for Christ. And the things of good no longer will have control over it. Why? God can take that desire away and make us a new creature above that that we thought that we could be. And you know, people just fail to see that we need to go back to the Word of the Lord and find out what God has to say on a subject and see just what God requires. You know, today in which we live, people will try and justify anything you want to name, any kind of a sin, even to the point of saying that it's okay for homosexuals to be ministers or to be ordained or whatever, and we'll come to this and never go back and find out what God said about it. And when God says it's wrong, it's a sin, how can we put somebody up as a leader of the church, as an example of what that we should be in God, in living in an open lifestyle of something that God said is sin, is wrong. And it takes from that to adultery, to fornication, to any other sin you want to name. It's, if it's a person is in it, They're wrong according to the word of the Lord. And you and I, we should take what God's word said. Not what man is trying to justify. Not what they're trying to say is okay. But it's what the word of God said. And you know, today in America, an abortion, as I read in a paper that comes talking about the abortion that goes on in America, 1.2 million babies are killed each year by abortion. 3,300 a day. I think it's one every 23 seconds in America today. And we talk about how horrible Hitler was. He killed nothing compared to what we're killing today. And we're justifying it by saying it's a woman's right to choose. She can have to carry that baby if she don't want to. She can about the consequences before they ever come to that point. And when they make the wrong decision, commit murder does not change their faith, does not make it better. There's a river of blood flowing in America today, and people don't want to recognize it. They want to say, oh, it's all right. It's the day in which we live. It's early in, and it's the day of violence and sin, and God is bringing it into judgment because of it. And I know there's a lot of people will say that that is not a message of love. God is love, but God sent some harsh messages to the human family, and we just don't want to listen to them. But when we stand before God, if we have sin in our life, we're going to find out we're before a righteous judge, but one that's harsh. And He's true. You know, if you go before a judge here in law, and though you may hope that you come out to the good, but if you're guilty of something and the judge rules against you, if you're honest, you'll have to say, well, I was wrong and I deserve what I got. When we stand before God, man's going to have to confess that when he sees just how wrong that he really is through the eyes of a righteous God. Today, we lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Instead of going back and taking up the law of the Word of God in the Old Testament and in the New of what we're being judged by, we need to go back to those things and raise our children and teach them. If you'd like to read with us in Isaiah, the 28th chapter, listen close to this scripture. The 28th chapter and start with the 9th verse. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now, you know, a lot of people, we read that and we never stop to think what it's trying to say. But precept, the meaning of it, it says a commandment or direction meant as rule of action or conduct. A rule of moral conduct, direction, doctrine, law, principle, instruction. Line, border or boundary. Little, a small amount. And as I was reading that and thinking, you know, today people, they just don't want to take what the Bible said as being a precept. The Bible would give it to you and I for us to build our house, everything about us, upon the very thing that God said. And you know, I can remember back when I used to be in structured, or you could go and you could see this massive wall that was built out of blood. Oh, it weighed so many tons. It would be just hard for a man to comprehend all the weight that was in this wall. But no man come with that wall and set the whole thing up. They begin down at the foot of it, and they begin to lay the block and put down the roll for their hat. And one block at a time in a straight line was laid up on their hat. And they kept adding block to block. Now after a while you got a great big high wall built. That's the very way the Bible is today. God wants you and I to start out with our children in our church teaching the very precepts of God. The very foundation of God wants you and I to build on. To start out teaching those and to keep adding the toil, refreshing the mind of what they've already learned. But keep adding the toil little by little unto men and women grow to be men and women in God. But the day we're living in, the day of the time when people don't want that, they still want to be sucked up on the breast, or as my dad used to say, a sugar tit. He said a preacher has to carry around the sugar tit to keep all of his people content and happy. And I didn't understand what a sugar tit was. And I went and asked Dad, I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, years ago, said they didn't, moms didn't have pacifiers as they have today. He said that they would take a call when they had a baby, they would cry and they'd put a little sugar in it and tie a little string around it and give it to that baby to suck on that call, and it would dissolve that sugar and it made it feel content for a while. Well, today the preacher, they went from that before they forgot about that, but they must have a pocket full of they're giving the people what they want to hear instead of what the Bible said. Instead of going back to the Word of God and preaching the priesthood, the instructions of God, when God said, come out from your sin and be a separated people and start calling sin sin. People don't want to hear that. Why? Oh, it makes me be one come to a hat. I don't go enjoy going to that church because feel uncomfortable. Get out of your sin and you can enjoy being in the house of God. But if you go to a church where you never feel anything, just have good communion with the people, that's not doing your soul any good. You need to set the word. You can feast at the table of God. And I don't care how long you've been living a Christian life, the Word of God is going to make us feel uncomfortable at times. God's going to send a message that's going to reveal unto us just what we are. And we can take that and we can build upon it, we can grow with it, or we can reject it. But God will send us that to help us to grow. A precept upon top of a precept. Just adding one thing on top of another. So we gradually just keep building. He said, a little. He said, and there a little, and here a little, and there a little. You know, you and I, we can sit down with the Word of the Lord and think, oh, I've read this chapter. There's nothing in that that can help me. But if we sit down and we begin to read, we can find there'll be things in there that will speak to us. It might only be part of a verse that gets our attention, that helps us to see something in our life. God didn't say that we have to swallow the whole thing at one time, but we take it little by little, and God will send it our way, and we're able to take it if we're honest and hard. But if we start rejecting right on the very thing God sends our way, then what's the purpose of
of receiving the Word of God. You know, when I come to the Lord, I knew all the sin that I've been in. I knew the things that I've been doing. All of it that were wrong. The very intent of my heart. How evil that they were. But yet I didn't realize just how bad that the things I thought that I was doing, that was all that bad, how bad that they were. And and seeing those things and more, I didn't have to hear a message preached unto me about that, but the very thing that I was into so much, we see right in church today, and being accepted. Why? Before the times did change, people say, but God's Word is not changed. The foundation that God wants you and I to build on, it hasn't changed.
God stays the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, back when I was young, granted we didn't have a lot of the temptations that's around today for the young people. Not so blatant anyhow. You had to go to the dark side of town to see a lot of things that today you can see on public television. You had to go to the dark side of town to really hear the kind of language that you'll hear in school today. You know, when I was growing up, I can remember being in school and just what we would call today words are just a little bit shady. I can remember teachers in school severely punishing kids for little words that we hear kids say today and right in front of their parents and think nothing about it. You know, back then, teachers was real strict. Today, the kid can stand up and cuss the teacher out, and the teacher will do nothing about it. Why? Because they have no authority to spank. You know, back when I was a kid at school, my dad told me, he said, you get in trouble at school, you get a whipping, when you get home, you get another one. So when I did something wrong and I got caught in it at school when they whipped me, I kept my mouth shut. Why? Because when I went home, if I said anything, I just got another whipping on top of me. Today the kid, if they're caught doing something wrong, they go home and complain. And the parents will go and bawl the teacher out because they singled that kid out and made them feel embarrassed in front of their fellow students. Instead of telling that child you did wrong, they should have picked you up and warned you behind. Then they learned some discipline. They learned some respect. But today, people, we have no respect. Why? Because we failed to learn the precept that God tried to teach us and should be taught today. That there is a higher authority that we're going to give an account of. And before, and you and I today, if we don't go back and see that sin is sin, and when we stand before God, we're going to be judged by that. How do we ever expect our people to get any better? You know, listen, down in the 16th verse of this same chapter, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now, you know, there, if Christ is that corner and He's come, and He said right there in what we read to you, will lay to the line, and a judgment also will He lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. You know, you and I, God is not making, I guess you'd say, corners for you and I, or cutting corners for you and I to be able to escape where we've done wrong. But God is bringing us into judgment. And He's already told us how He's going to judge righteously. He's already told us what He requires. And, you know, there again, the world, we've come to a place where we're a society today of people that is in, I guess you'd say, different forms of service. And, you know, used to, in America, years and years ago, everybody was acquainted with building because we was just a rural community, I guess you'd say, and everybody would take out and they'd build something on their place for themselves. There was no codes, there was nothing like that, so everybody had a little bit of an understanding of what it took to build something. And they knew what it took to make a wall straight and plumb. Today people don't have the slightest idea what the instruments are. And that's why when they see, back here it talks about a plumb line or anything like that, they don't comprehend what that means. That means something that's perfectly straight up and down. The point is set at the top, and then that line is pulled, and you got a plumb bob on it, and it'll swing to when it's tall. Whatever it touches the floor is exactly straight from that point to the top. What God started out and set the point in heaven, and made the mark on the earth by His Son. You know, it's awful to say, but the biggest majority of people in the world today is living in violation of the Word of God. Even people that's sitting in churches across the world today are living in violation to the Word of God because they do not accept God's Word as being the final authority. I had a preacher that's supposed to be a full gospel preacher. When I quoted scripture to him on a particular thing that he was sort of leaning towards some people that was in violation of it that I talked to him. I had this preacher tell him, I don't feel like there's got to be a way. Christ is the way, and He's not going to do away with His Word to make a way for somebody that's in sin. You and I, we must come to the Word of God. That is our choice. God don't make anybody serve Him, but He'll make us wish we had when we stand there at judgment. It's not whether we want to agree with it or not that makes it right, but it is right whether we agree or not. And you and I, when we stand there, God's going to say, this is my Word. You knew what I said. Why didn't you abide by it? Why did you turn away? Why did you close your eyes? Why did you stop your ears? My Word is settled, and it's what you'll be judged by on that day. Each and every one of us, God is not going to change the way He judges you because of what your mom and dad thinks of you or how special that you are in somebody's eyes here. He's going to judge you by the choices you made, whether you wanted to live for God or not, whether you was obedient unto God or not, whether you treasured His Word or not. You know, I've had people to tell me, I love the Lord. You know, the Bible asks that question. If you love me, won't you keep my commandments? And a lot of people, they think, you know, the Ten Commandments. There's far more than ten in the Bible. Every word that God spoke, laying down how that a Christian should live, is a commandment to you and to me. And we need to live by them. All right, in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, the 12th verse. Well, let's start with the 11th verse. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the articles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, you and I, when we read the Bible and we spend time studying the Word of God, we can begin to see what God's requiring of us. And then we can have our growth and our strength and everything about us change according to what we're digesting of the Word of God. You know, I can remember years ago, speaking to a woman about the things of the Lord, and she said, and I told her, I said, don't you ever read the Bible? And she said, I don't need to read the Bible. I have the priest to tell me what he wants me to know. I said, well, you need to read your Bible. Oh, God's not going to judge you. But what did you just to pick the tune of what the priest told you? But he's going to judge you by all of his word, because you had a right to read it. You and I, we can find as a priest, a preacher, or somebody will tell it to us the way we want to hear it. But when we stand before God, God's going to bring us back to those preachers, those teachers of God's word, and he's going to say, this is what I've said. And you and I say, we might choose to walk away from the very foundation of the denomination that we were brought up in, and go some other way. But that don't change a thing. God don't judge us by the denomination that we belong to, but he judges us whether we're in the family of God or not, whether we accept in the word of God or not, whether we live by the standard that God has laid down. Here he said, when you ought to be teachers, you have need of somebody teaching you. In other words, the very principles, the very foundation of what that a Christian stands on. That's where we're at today. You know, I've heard people say, I like so-and-so as a preacher. They always preach about heaven and happy things. You know, I love that. But that is not where I learned what it takes to get to heaven. You know, we can shout when we hear about the streets of gold, the river of life, the tree of life, the throne of God, and Christ sitting upon it. But what does it take to get there to see those? It takes laying down the sin of this world. It takes denying old self and the desire. There's a lot of times I get up and I might feel tired, and the Lord said, I want you to do so and so. And I can say, I'm tired. I just don't feel like it today. And if that's my answer to God at the end of the day, if I did not do what God said, I failed God, and I see it. Why? He said to know to do good, and to do it not to heal but in sin. You might not like the thing that just because you didn't go and testify to somebody that God said to go to, but because you didn't go and pray with somebody that God told you to go and pray with, and because you didn't go and witness to some lost person in little door that God cared for, and he laid them upon your heart, that you didn't do anything wrong. After all, I didn't go out and do anything that people said to the sin. But disobedience unto God is sin. And that will separate you from God. That's coming back to those very articles of faith, the very principles that our Christian life should be built upon. Obedience unto God. And without we understand that, we can never grow as a Christian and become that one that can take strong meat. That's why preachers can carry around pacifiers. And a lot of that, you know, his favorite passages of Scripture. God is love. We've all sinned. And that justifies you for being in your sin. Well, yeah, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God didn't say that allowed you to go to heaven. He's just letting you know that none of us is above sin and we need to repent when we have. You and I today, each one of us, we need to go back and learn the things of the Lord. You know, here, I've heard worldwide known preachers take Scripture in the Bible and totally take it out of context because they couldn't preach it the way God sent it. If they did, it hit them. We've got preachers here in America that's known all around the world whose life is lived in adultery. We got preachers here that's known all around the world that are continually doing the things that God said not, whether it's going out and drinking alcohol, gambling, you name it, they're into it. But yet their name is known that people act like just because of this or because of that, that person, because of all the people that they free, they can be trusted. But if they're telling you something other than what the Word of God said, if they're not telling you that God's Word is the final authority, a man that tells me, I know that's what God's Word said, but you're misunderstanding it. It don't really mean what it's saying. It means this. And he starts putting his words up on it, trying to get you to take something else. Why from that man is you would a poisonous day. You and I today we need to come and take the Word of God for exactly what it said. Why? Because God knew exactly the day, the hour in which we would be living. And he sent it unto you and I to answer every question that we'll ever have on any subject it comes to. You know, back when I was a kid, I don't remember hearing anything about homosexuality. I was up pretty big before I did. But I know that it was around way back in Bible days, the way the history talks about that. But not as much as it is today. But isn't it wonderful? God give an answer to everyone that wants to know. He said, it's an abomination. Can we be pleasing to God if we're living in a way that God says was abomination unto it? Well, there's all kinds of people will look down their nose at a person that's in the homosexuality. But there they said, with their second or third wife, they're in adultery. God said, that's abomination. You and I today, it's time for us to come back and realize any sin is abomination in the sight of God. A righteous God don't like the smell of it. I've been out on the farm many a time, and you out there walking around, you don't know that a lot of times that you stepped in something that stinks until you go in the house and begin to take your shoes off. Then you can begin to smell it. Why? Because it's upon you. Well, God would it have scaled upon you and I if we have sinned in our lives. It's a stink in the nostrils of God. But that blood of Jesus Christ, it not only cleanses us, but it perfumes us. He gives us a sweet smell of the God. When we get down before him, our prayer goes right up in front of him, and he's there to answer us. Because we was willing to do that God said, repent. You know, man today don't like that word, repent. Because to repent and do it honestly, you've got to take blame for what you did. You know, I've met people, and I've heard people that was caught in the very act of a crime, and they say they weren't guilty because of such and such. I've seen a person that was on drugs, and that was their defense. They wasn't responsible because of the drugs that was in their body. Or a man that gets drunk and goes out and wrecks his car and kills somebody, he's not responsible because the alcohol that was in his body. He chose to put the alcohol in his body. He chose to take the drug. So he is the one that's responsible. Our crazy laws today can try and justify something like that and let a person off. But you realize when you stand before God, that's not going to be an offense. Why? You made the choice. You chose to live your life in sin. When you stand there, because you chose that, you can't turn around and say, well, God, you've got to let me go to heaven because your son died for me. I might have lived my life in sin, but he died for me. But if you don't accept that salvation, that plan that was given for you, why you live here and come out from your sin and be a separated people, pleading that when you stand before God will not be the answer. It must be applied to the heart. You and I today, listen to this. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, the 16th verse, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now, here he said, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. You and I today, we need to go back and learn all of this. And when we come to the New Testament, learn just what it is that God required. And just as it was there in the Old Testament, after he told the people all that God required of them, he took that blood and he sprinkled the book that we wrote in, and he sprinkled the people with that blood. Why? Because that made them part of that. That was, in other words, their acceptance. Well, you and I today, Christ come and shed his blood there on Calvary, that you and I might be washed. You know, I've had a lot of people say, oh, one drop of that blood that Christ shed there on Calvary was just for me. Maybe that's all the sin you have done, but it took more than that for me. It took all the blood that Christ shed. That's how much he loved me. He was willing to give it all that I might be clean from all my sin, that I might be burned, made a new creature in Christ, to give me that spirit on the inside to walk with me each and every day, to let me know when there's something that ain't come before me that I should leave alone. You and I today, it's there to witness unto us. But we need to be washed in that blood to become a tabernacle for God to dwell in. And, you know, granted, I don't care how old a Christian that we've been, how many years we've been living for the Lord. The devil can come and catch us off guard sometimes. And first thing you know, we'll find out that we sinned. We failed God. But the same thing that redeemed us and made us a new creature in Christ, we can go back before the Lord again. be cleansed from that. That's why he said, keep yourselves unspotted for the things of the world. When sin comes, no matter how it presents itself in our life, when it comes, we can go back. We can have that cleansing. Have you ever seen somebody that had some kind of an expensive garment on them, and they get something on it? They didn't wait to take that off and take it and wash it. I've seen people take a nice blouse or a nice shirt, and right while they still had it on, they begin to use a cleanser to get that spot out. Why? They didn't want to take a chance of leaving it in there and it becoming a permanent stain that would ruin that garment. You and I today, that's the same way God wants it to be about our Christian life. When He reveals unto us that there's a spot upon our garment, go with that time. It might be in the middle of the day. It might be in the middle of the night. It might be in Sunday morning setting in church. It might be out somewhere all by ourselves. That God reveals unto us that there's something there that's unclean. What are you going to do about it? Say what everybody else is doing. It'll be alright. Or do you care enough about your spiritual condition and the way you fear before God to say, no, Lord, right now I want to get that out of the way. I want to get it cleaned up and begin to repent and tell God really what's in your heart. Going back there again. Going back to the Bible. And learning just exactly what's being required. You know, Paul's writing is real good to teach Christians what God's requiring of us. I know people that just want to hear their preacher preach out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's pretty much all they want to hear. And it's all good. I'm not saying it's not. Don't get me wrong. I love those books. But, you know, there's other Bible besides that that gets down to explain. Paul, I guess you'd say, puts the words down to where we live as good as any that you'll ever find. Why? Because Paul had been on the other side, persecuting the church, fighting against the very Christ that forgave him and made a new creature out of him. I can remember back when I was young, though I'd been brought up in a Christian home, my father a preacher, I could remember looking at people that lived Christian life that was spiritual, that could shout. I can remember looking at them and thinking, they're weird. Or thinking this, or thinking that. Why? Because when they got to carrying on in the Spirit, I felt uncomfortable. But you know, I knew there was something there. Though in my mind the devil would try and turn me off to it, I knew there was something real there. Well, you and I today, when we get to where we know what the Spirit of God is, when we get our sin forgiven, oh, what a difference it makes when we hear somebody begin to shout in the Spirit. It begins to flow all over us. Instead of making us feel bad, we begin to feel good all over us. Why? Because we're tasting of that today. We're beginning to drink from that same fountain that they're drinking from. And after a while, we can come to the place and we grow in the things of the Lord. We can begin to shout the praise of God our own self. We can get happy, look a little weird in the eyes of the world, and won't care what bit. Why? When you have the blessing of God upon you, that Spirit pouring down upon you, who cares what man thinks about it? Because there's nothing that you can ever find in this life that can make you feel that good. It's real today. And the things that God has laid down and asked of human beings is something that we're not going to get away from. We're not going to be able to do away with. You know, here in America, we've got another educated and I don't know what word to use, idiot or what, though he's a judge, to rule that's unconstitutional for children to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school because it says under God in it. How foolish. When our nation, the very writings and the foundation of our nation was under God. All of our leaders of our country that founded this recognize God. Our laws, all you got to go do is go back and get true history. The laws of this land, when they started out, was written because of words that was in the Bible. They took what God's law said and they put it into the laws of man. So how can we do without God in this country when we get in a place where we won't recognize God? God's not going to recognize us. And I'm afraid that's the decision and the way that we're heading. Why? Men and women that know God are unwilling to stand up and be counted. God wants people to stand in the heads today and to tell the world, this is the way of the Lord. This is His law. This is the priesthood that you and I must build upon. This is the thing that we must heed and we need to go back. You'll find the founding fathers of this country was educated in schools that used the Bible as their main reading book and educational literature. Isn't that something? That's how important. Our people come to this country and set it up. Why? So they could have the freedom to worship God. Not be told by the government to worship or how to worship. Because the Church of England did not worship the way that the people wanted to worship. And that was worshiping a true and a living God. So, you know, I'll admit it. We've got a lot of people in America that don't believe in God. They don't like to hear Him mentioned. Go to another country then. Why try and change this one that was founded upon that? That was our very backbone of this nation. That's why we stood. That's why we become the greatest power on the face of the earth. Because we leaned upon God. If we turn from that, we'll be as all other nations and become nothing. You and I today, we need to recognize the things of God we cannot compromise. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed. Christ left a testament through the Old Testament and in the New of just what God's will and desire for you and I was. And He proved it by giving His blood that you and I might know what it is. And that blood is what can change us. You might not like to think that, but without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Christ was the blood that was shed for you. No other blood was shed that man's sins could be totally forgiven and cleansed from them. That man could be changed. You know, back in the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices did not change the heart of that person. They were just obedient unto the law. But they were still the same person. But you know, when I come to the Lord and God forgive me, the very things I wanted to do the day before, I could not stand the thoughts of that day. I come to the Lord on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. I went that very afternoon, met with a bunch of my friends. It broke all the plans I had for the next week. You know, all of those so-called friends never had anything to do with me after that. Why? Because I didn't want to run in that crowd. I didn't want to go to the places of the world that they was going to. So we had nothing in common. And they did not want to come to church with me. You and I today, that's just how plain it is when we come to the Lord. The same as light and darkness, day and night. That's how plain it is. While we get some song to sing, have you been walking away from the Word of God as the foundation. You know, it would be good. I know people wouldn't like to hear it, but it would be good if we would go back to when, you know, when I was in school, and this was back in the 50s, I had several teachers in school that what they would do, they would give you Bible verses to memorize. The whole class had to memorize Bible verses and stand up and say them before the class. And it was for no other reason that we would learn and be able to say these verses, and it stimulated our mind. Well, you know, that was one of the places I learned the 23rd Psalm. The whole thing I had to say before the class. Today, they wouldn't hear that. But what a difference it made. You know, back then, you didn't have teachers feeling threatened in school. You didn't have all the trouble that we have today. So apparently, the decisions we're making is wrong. And we need to go back, find out what used to work. The Word of God is true, and it'll stand forever. There has never been a person that come out worse for knowing the Word of God. Never. It's always done a person good when they knew what God's Word was. You and I today, we need to go back and find out what it is that God wants us to build on, what our life should be like. Live according to the Word of God. What a different world it'd be. What much better human beings we would be if that was the main thing of our life. While we sing, will you come? Precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. That's what you need to do. Sit down and take the Word of God and study it out.
Just keep adding every day. Because you learned something about it yesterday, don't say, I don't need it today. Go back and pick it up and add to it. You, nobody ever builds a building in a day's time. It takes several days or several weeks or sometimes even years. Adding a little each and every day until you finally get it finished. You and I today, and no matter how long we live, we can still be adding under that Christian building that we're building for the Lord if we want to.